Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's PROMESCENT.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. But asking people out and practicing approaching anybody is a skill set. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. Practice, practice. This is my message for everybody right now.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. After a year of social distancing, many of us have forgotten how to flirt and date IRL in real life. The good news, a little practice, you'll be stronger and sexier than ever before. So in this episode, I'm covering the lessons we learned from a year of isolation, slowing down and online dating, as well as what's in store for the year ahead. This includes how to regain confidence, important questions to ask yourself before jumping back out there, and how to find a partner who's right for you. I also answer your questions about what to consider when getting off friends with benefits, how to prepare for sex post dry spell, getting back with an ex, and dating post divorce. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode and how could it help you? Well, my intention is to help you just take the pressure off and get back to healthy sex and a healthy dating life. I got an announcement to make. I'm doing a live virtual podcast April 15th at 6 o'clock Pacific, and you are all invited. It's going to be a blast. We can all be together. I get to see your faces, but you don't have to have your camera on, but I would love to see you. Yeah, I'm going to answer your questions live during the show. It's only $10 for the live podcast experience, or you can pay $100 and get a one-on-one live meet and greet with me, and I'll answer your question directly. You get a video you get to keep. It's going to be so much fun. To find more, go to looped.com. loopedlive.com. That's LOOPED live.com. Click on their upcoming experiences and then scroll down. And I would just love to see you there. I'm really excited about it. I hope you are too. All right, everybody, enjoy the show. Okay, let's talk about how to date after a dry spell. Now, coming out of this global pandemic, many of us might be going through a dry spell. Maybe you've been alone and you haven't been dating, or maybe you just, you know, took a break from dating. Maybe you're going through a divorce, or maybe you're going through just a long-term breakup, and you want to know how to get out there again, how to get your dating mojo back. How do you remember how to flirt? I mean, that is also a muscle that we have to practice. If you haven't been flirting or socializing, and a lot of people are talking about that right now and saying, I'm a little anxious to get out there. Some kind of social anxiety you might not have had before. So how do we get back out there after such a strange year? I think there's been a lot of interesting things that have happened during the pandemic with dating. I saw courtship come back. People were slowing things down because we had to, doing a video date first. And we were slowing things down and really getting to know each other. But now we might be experiencing kind of isolation fatigue because maybe you haven't been in a relationship for a few years before the pandemic. Maybe you were taking a break or you were working on yourself. But after being alone for a year, maybe you have a different point of view on it. Maybe you've changed your opinion and you think, I am ready. So dating is a muscle, flirting is a muscle, all of it. And if we haven't worked out in a year, essentially, it would make sense that you might be experiencing a little bit of anxiety about dating or just going out. So let's take baby steps. Today's episode, I'm going to answer a lot of your questions about these very things. But first, I've been wanting to talk to you about this study that came out that showed the main reason behind involuntary singlehood. Like you're single and you don't know why. The main reason is that you do not know how to flirt. And flirting is a skill set. It really is. And sometimes we just don't know how. And the thing that followed here, the other reason why we're single is because we aren't able to read the signs that someone likes us. We just can't read it. It's like, do they like me? Don't they like me? And that can be really difficult. Sometimes we don't want to risk getting hurt. We don't want to put ourselves out there. So we just default towards, this person probably doesn't like me. So that's also a skill set. And the other thing they found is that we're just not making an effort. And that's why we are single. And I thought, yes, that makes sense. If we're somebody who doesn't really understand how to show that we are open and that we're interested, how is the other person going to know? Maybe they aren't great at reading signals and then you guys never connect. So let's brush up on our flirting skills here for a minute, okay? Let me just give you a little reminder here. Let's do a little bit of flirt reminders, okay? These are just the basics of flirting. Eye contact. Eye contact is so important when we're flirting. It's a difference between like a how you doing and let's get to know each other. And there's a lot of studies about eye gazing that have come out that if you hold your eye gaze with someone for up to 2 minutes, that your feelings might start to change towards more passionate towards somebody. And I'm not saying this is going to happen to everybody. Another way to use eye contact is to maintain your gaze just a few seconds longer. You know, maybe you see someone across the room and you hold their gaze longer than you normally would. Repeat that a few times. And if they're not giving you weird looks and they're just kind of looking back at you, maybe you can go up and approach them. But listen, there's also the other side of eye gazing. Like maybe they think you're creepy or doing something weird. Well, you'll know. If they look away or they change seats or they leave the bar or wherever you're at, don't approach them. But the eye gaze and sticking with it could really show someone, oh, what's this person looking at? The other thing is your approach. When you go up to somebody, you don't want to like sneak up or come up behind them. If they're facing away, either make your way around or wait for them to move and try to approach them from the front. So that gives you both the opportunity to catch each other's eyes, check each other out, see if there's interest. The other thing is give a compliment. Now, this could also be when you're on a date. I'm not talking about just approaching somebody at a bar, but give compliments and be specific with your compliments. Just saying, hey, you're so pretty or you look great, when you get specific and you say, oh, I think you're so attractive and I love your eyes. They're such a pretty color. Or not like great outfit, but those are really cool shoes. You have really good style. You know, but I think it's great to get specific about something about the person. Like, I love the way you laugh, or you have such pretty teeth. I mean, get specific, and that might also be a sign. Hey, I'm flirting. Now, how do we use touch with flirting? Touch is, you know, you got to be careful, but a light touch, if you're doing it carefully, could be a very effective form of flirting for everybody. That definitely shows that you're interested. For example, there's a friendly touch, right? Like a light shoulder push or a shoulder tap or a handshake. That's not flirting. But a soft, you know, face touch or brushing someone's hair out of their face or a touch on the forearm or the wrist. And in fact, there's a study that shows that a little touch on the forearm actually could mean something. That could show that people were more likely to give out their phone number if someone touched their forearm ever so lightly. Now, you have to be careful with this too, because I'm not saying grab someone. I'm not just saying kiss them. I'm not saying grab their body parts. I'm talking about a light suggestive touch. And that could show that you're interested. Your body language says a lot as well. If you're turning away from somebody, like maybe you're somebody who naturally stands with your arms crossed or you're more closed off, well, that could be sending the signal that you are not interested. So pay attention. You want to breathe before you go out. You want to get into your body and you want to ask a lot of questions, be interested, be interesting, and playful. All right, brush up on your flirting. You can learn it. If you're nervous about dating or socializing post-pandemic, just go out with your friends. Take the pressure off yourself. Take baby steps in socializing. Go out with people that you already love and trust. Spend more time getting dinner or drinks with friends. Have an outdoor picnic. Maybe you each invite a few friends that don't know each other. And that's how we all meet people, right? A lot of times, through friends of friends, you know, before all the dating apps, that's what people would do. And then you commit to hanging out with them. Especially if it's in a group, you don't have to commit to a date, but you can see if you meet anyone interesting. The other thing is to get back into your body. If we've been in a sexual dry spell, well, that's a long time to go without sex. And you might be feeling, God, my confidence is shot. So one of the best ways you can start to reclaim your sexual energy is just get back into your body. Start moving your body again, you know, dancing or taking yoga or buying some clothes or lingerie or whatever makes you feel sexy. And when we get back into our bodies, we feel more confident. And it also allows us to be more mindful and just more connected to our bodies. And you know that I think that masturbation is also a great way to do that. And just go easy on yourself. As always, if you're feeling intimidated to date again, everyone's dealing with this. We've just spent a year staring at Zoom. So get yourself back out there, refresh, listen to some podcasts. We've done a bunch of great podcasts on dating. And it might take time, but it's all going to come back to you, I promise. And who knows, you might just find that you're even a stronger dater after the pandemic because you've taken time getting to know yourself. And you might be a better dater than ever before. And just remember that there's also no pressure. If you're wondering, well, how do I know if I'm ready to date? It's really important to do the inner work and figure out, where did your last relationship go wrong? What did you learn about yourself? Recognize the patterns that you don't want to repeat and get really clear on your values and what you're looking for in a partner. Be honest, you guys, get clear. Are you just looking to hook up with someone? Are you looking to have casual dating? Are you looking for a relationship? Be honest with yourself and the people that you're dating and tell them your needs, your fears, set boundaries. What great time to practice being the best advocate for yourself. And if you're not sure, just ask yourself, why am I dating again? What am I looking for? And just be patient. I mean, I actually have found that dating can be a really enjoyable process if you just think, I'm just going to go out for a drink with somebody. Maybe I'll learn something new. Maybe I'll make a new friend and I'll have a cocktail. Maybe I'll have a good meal. But it helps take the pressure off ourselves if we just think, okay, worst thing that happens is I, you know, have learned something new, have a good conversation. Even if it's not your soulmate, that's okay. If you are dating, just a little reminder about how to find people. The dating apps have been going off the last year. There's so many more dating apps. There's a lot of options for people to meet, even on social media. Tell everyone you know that you're single. Tell your friends. if people ask if you're dating, say, no, I'm single. If you know anyone to fix me up with. I can't tell you how many times I've said that to people. And they, sure enough, might not be right then and there. But the next time they meet someone, they're like, are you still single? Would you like to meet someone? And I so appreciate it. So remember, let people know that you're interested. And remember, just when you're going on a date, a few things are to be curious, to ask questions, to be a good listener, and go out with an open mindset. And I think it's also important that try to go on a second date. Unless the person is toxic and horrible and you had a terrible experience, don't do that again. But if you're not sure or you're on the fence, I think we can learn a lot from a second date. And sometimes our own fears are getting in the way of us actually giving someone a second chance. We might see a red flag where there really isn't one because we're so used to saying what we don't like and we're so used to kind of getting in our own way. So try going on a second date if you're on the fence. Remember, we're all in this together. And now I'm going to get into your questions. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. If you have a question and you'd like it answered on the show, you can just go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. And if you want to be called or set up a time to call in, just click the box that asks about calls. As always, include your name, your gender identity, your location, your age, and how you listen to the show. And of course, totally cool if you change your name. Okay, this is from Elizabeth23. Hi, I love your podcast and I want to see if you could help me with something. I just graduated from college, so my experience with boys has been very much hook up and then stay together, not date, and then see if you want to hook up. So I'm trying this new thing not to have sex the first time I'm with a guy. I've seen this guy 2 times and I think I like him. I'm trying to keep him wanting more since it's the beginning and I want to tease him a little. So far, we've only made out passionately, but I want to know if you have any suggestions on timeline. When should we start oral sex? When should we have regular sex? I know it's all about what feels right in the moment, but I'm really trying to leave him wanting more. I feel like I usually have sex with a boy too quickly, and I don't want to set that tone for this guy. Sorry if that's long. I hope you can help. All right, so here's the thing, Elizabeth. I like where you're going with this. It sounds like you had the drunken hookup experiences in college that were not as satisfying. And I'm not one to give you a timeline. Like, there are other dating experts who say things like, wait till commitment. Wait 3 months. They have all these rules. But my rules start with you. My rule is about how do you feel, Elizabeth, with this guy? Is he someone that you feel safe with? Is he a cool guy? Do you feel comfortable with him? Are you looking for a relationship right now or are you just looking for a hookup? Because the game playing stuff, I'm not a huge fan of like, I'm just going to wait 6 dates and then I'm going to have sex with him. But I do like waiting just because then we get to know somebody. What's this person all about? Are they a good person? Does he show up when he says he's going to show up? Is he kind? Does he make sure that you're okay and that your needs are met when you're hanging out? Even just like, do you want a glass of water? Are you hungry? Things like that. Learning more about him will allow you to feel more comfortable and then you're going to know when it's right. And so I can't give you a timeline, but I would say I like that you're waiting to see how you feel with him. So when should you start oral sex? I say after he goes down on you. This whole notion that women should just give blowjobs and then they have sex with a guy, I just think I would love all of my vulva owners listening to wait for a partner to go down on you sometimes. I'm not saying that every situation this is the case, but when I often hear from women, Elizabeth, in her early 20s, and even thinking back to myself, I was more about giving than receiving. So starting oral sex should start when he starts to please you and then you feel like you're in the mood to go down on him as well. And then the regular sex could follow that experience. But again, what are you looking for? I mean, this might be the first time that you have a relationship. And if that's the case, like a real relationship, I would just try to find out, do you guys have the same values? Is he looking for a relationship or is he just looking for sex? What does he want out of life? I just think it's better. The more information we can find out about someone's intentions and their values and what they're looking for, the better we can make decisions about, is this someone I actually want to have inside of me? So that's what I would say for you, Elizabeth. Pay attention to his actions and his words and then see how you feel. Let's talk to Pamela, 57 in California. Hi, Pamela. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you? Thank
Great.
You.
Of course. How can I help? What's going on?
Well, I'm calling because I haven't been in the dating field for 2 years. And so a friend suggested Bumble because she's like, you can choose who you want. And so I made a connection with a guy. I kind of feel like it's pushy a little bit because he's like, it just barely started the conversation today. And okay. He's like, I wish you were here with me right now. And he sends me a picture without his shirt on. And I'm like, that's a little bit too much for me. So how do you say that without squashing a chance, I guess?
No, that's such a good question, Pamela. So he's just somebody that you just matched with on Bumble. And let me just explain to everybody listening. Bumble is the app that you, it's a swipe app, but you match with somebody, but the women have to send the first message. So then you are connected. So even if you're matched, so then you sent the message. And then was that, like, how long were you chatting for before he sent a picture of his torso?
It was just last night. I barely started. So it was actually this morning.
It's different for everybody, Pamela. A lot of women I hear are like, I just don't want a dick pic. I don't want any naked picture. I don't want it to get intimate. Don't sescalate, if you will, or don't prematurely escalate the sex part of the conversation or make it that way. I want to get to know you first. I need an emotional connection. And then there's some women, I think, who just want sex and they're like, fine, send me whatever. So I think it's a case-by-case basis, to be honest. And so who knows, maybe this guy has been trained by someone else he was dating who said, like, let's get intimate. So I feel like what I would recommend, Pamela, is to say, let's set up a call. Like, I think that right now, especially during quarantine the last 9 months, what's happened with online dating and what I've been an advocate of is saying, let's hop on a phone call. You want to do a FaceTime? You want to do some of the, you know, video chat? Because then you could get to know the person before you start texting back and forth and actually seeing if there's attraction and a connection. So I try to get to that right away and just say, you know, really nice chatting with you. I'm not big of a texter. Would you want to hop on a video chat for 10 minutes tonight? And then you could set up a bunch of calls back to back, kind of like speed dating, but you're doing it on video. Let's talk and find out if we should meet and then initiate a call. Like, if you'd be comfortable with a video call or Zoom call, would you be?
I'm really shy. So I would say right now, no, like I was terrified when he was like, you know, here's my phone number. Let's text. I'm like, oh my God.
Okay. So, got it. So you're still the newer stages. You just want to text. So I just think sometimes the texting can go on for weeks. And then you think, well, when are we going to meet up? What's the next plan? So if you're not ready to do the chatting, I think either if you think this guy's cool, I mean, you just don't reply in that way. You just say, I have to meet you first to know if I'm going to miss you or wish I was there or something. But I just think FaceTiming is efficient because then it's like another layer because someone, you know, I'm telling you, I've had the experience where someone's an excellent texter, great talker, and then I meet him and I'm like, nope. And right now, if you're new at it too, Pamela, I wouldn't be so hard on yourself because it's a muscle and it's a skill. So when you asked me about the rules, right? I think we get to make our own rules and set our own boundaries. But I don't think this guy was overstepping because I was at dinner with a girlfriend and she's in her 40s and she's like, went through a divorce and she's like, I just want to have sex right now. So she was happy if a guy sent her a dick pic. She was like, I have a whole file of them. And I was like, that is the last thing I want. So, you know, I don't respond to things and if it's not attractive to me, right? So I think I just sort of train people and I just act what's comfortable to me. Do you know what you're looking for, Pamela, right now? Are you just looking to date, which is fine?
I would like a relationship, but I don't want to jump into bed with somebody. I want to have a conversation, get to know them. Like, honestly, I'm good with like 3 to 6 months getting to know you before I get to that point because I've learned in the past it's if you jump into bed right away, it's all about the sex. And I would rather know that I have a connection with you before I have a sexual connection.
Well, that's exactly it. You know what? And I feel the same way. I really want to feel that we have an intellectual connection. We have an emotional connection. But when it gets to the sex too quickly, I get, or with someone like that, like I've had guys do the same thing to me and I get really turned off. And so that's why I'm saying you might have to sort of force yourself out of your comfort zone and have a conversation with them. And let them know that. Say, I need to connect with you emotionally first. I need to know who you are first before I can get there. Just sort of like anything else, the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to get and you're going to be able to set your own rules and boundaries. But I would be, you know, you meet all kinds online. You really do. And it's a numbers game. And I think right now you could maybe just not take it as seriously and sort of practice. Say, well, I'm going to do something right now that I never do, right? You don't know these people. And you could just experiment and be playful. And don't hold back in areas maybe where in the past you would have. And then you'll start to figure out what kind of texting rhythm works for you. And does it feel good to do a FaceTime call? You know, what do I need to feel emotionally connected with someone? And I think it's okay to have a call where you are asking questions. There's another app called Hinge that a lot of people really like right now because Hinge has you answer a few questions so people can comment on your profile. So you might find that you have more information about people to go off of. You can ask questions. Oh. I think Bumble does this as well, where you could ask people questions that are like, what would you do if you were the last person on earth? Or if you were to have dinner with one person, who would it be? Or what's the most memorable day of your life? You know, you could start to, I love asking those questions. And there's some great resources and books on this. There's this, the 36 questions you should ask to fall in love. The New York Times did this great story on it a few years ago about just getting deep with people. Because if someone can't handle me, they're just joking the whole time. I need a little bit of like, let's connect, and then I can see if I actually am attracted to you. Usually it's, for me, it's their mind that becomes a turn on, and I think that sounds like it's the same for you. So finding your way of getting to that in somebody is what you have to find right now.
Okay.
And just keep going with it. Take risks.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, I love your show. I just found you just searching stuff one day, and I was like, oh, so I listen to you. I have a 30-minute drive, and I listen to you as much as I can on my drive, so I really appreciate you.
I love it. Thank you, Pamela. I appreciate hearing from you. Keep me posted. I want to hear how it goes. I'll be following along with your journey. Thank you.
I will. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Okay.
Bye, Pamela.
You too.
All right. This is from Steven. Hey, Dr. Emily, I've been single for 6 years. I'm divorced and I don't get out very much, especially during a pandemic. I made the personal decision to remain single for the rest of my days. I've never had what is to be considered a successful relationship. I have interest in a woman I used to know, but I only want an FWB or friends with benefits relationship. How should I approach this? Okay, Steven, you didn't say how old you are, but that's a pretty big statement to say that you made a personal decision to remain single for the rest of your days. I mean, for 6 years, I mean, you know, the more we're alone, the more we like get comfortable with our being alone. And so I would just maybe be open that maybe you will find someone that you want to be in some kind of relationship with. So the friends with benefits thing, if you really don't want a relationship, I would just let this person know and say to her, I'm just looking to keep things casual right now. I'm not looking for a committed relationship. And then what does that look like? Are you going to have other friends with benefits? Are you only sleeping with her? What do you want from your friends with benefits? Or do they offer you emotional support? Do you want to go to movies together? Do you want to hang out? Have you thought about what you actually want out of this relationship? So I think it's great to be honest. If that's what you know that you want, you're not wasting anyone's time. You're not leading her on. But I'd also be open that maybe you will find someone, Stephen, one day, and you realize that maybe you could add someone to your life that would make it that much richer. Okay, Stephen? So I think honesty is the best policy always, especially if you're very clear on what you want. I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'm talking to Brittany, who's wondering how to get her boyfriend to speak her love language. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. All All right, this is from Kathy, 25. Dear Dr. Emily, I haven't had sex in over 2 years, and it's really starting to affect me. Of course, I'm taking into consideration we've been in a pandemic for almost a year, but it still is extremely frustrating. At 25 years old, I feel like I should be in my prime when it comes to having sex. I do masturbate regularly, but lately, I've just been craving that physical intimacy with a man. I feel like it's even starting to mess with my confidence a bit, and it's making me feel undesirable. And I feel like guys I do meet aren't even worth sleeping with. Where are the good ones hiding? Would love some advice from you. All right, but first I want to say, I think we have to all go easy on ourselves because we've been in a pandemic, which means we haven't been socializing as much. And as a result of that, our brain starts to change. Parts of our brain that are used to socializing that can actually shrink, our amygdala, which is responsible for our emotions. So we need to go slow and start to connect with people again. And I think that socializing is kind of like riding a bike. So once we get out there, we're like, oh yeah, this was fun. I enjoy people. So that's for all of you who are worried about this. We're all in the same boat. For you, Kathy, how are you meeting people right now? I'm a fan of the apps. We did a great podcast with Logan Yuri called How Not to Die Alone. And she talks a lot about dating and these limiting beliefs around dating and just dating patterns where we think there's no one out there or we're not good enough or no one else is good enough. And so I think checking yourself there and thinking about like, what are my limiting beliefs? And I'm hearing that in you where you say, you know, all the guys aren't worth it. It's like when people say everyone in this town is horrible. Well, there's always going to be somebody for you. I promise there is a lid for every pot. Let everyone, all your friends know that you're single and just be open to meeting people where you least expect it. Usually when we're out doing things that we love doing, you can find someone who shares your interests. And that can also be a way to attract people because you're in a comfortable state. You are doing something you like doing. I know I realized a lot in the last year, and it's like, well, who are the friends I want to hang out with? Who don't I want to hang out with? Who are my people? And so maybe you found that you just need to widen your circle of people that you are hanging out with. I mean, I've met a lot of great people that I've dated through friends. How's your friend circle? How are your friends' boyfriends? Do they have any friends? Letting everyone know that you're single. And so again, just we're in a new time right now. We're in a different time and just being open to expanding your horizons and where you meet people and how you meet people are some great things to think about. Let's talk to Brittany, 30 in Michigan. Hey, Brittany, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hi. Hi. I am definitely the type of person, like, I'm very affectionate, very, you know, touchy-feely, say I love you a lot, you know, that sort of thing. And my boyfriend is totally opposite. He can go, you know, days, weeks, whatever, without even touching me, kissing me, anything. And it's kind of frustrating because then when, obviously, when it comes to, like, having sex, it almost feels, like, awkward to initiate it. You know, because I feel like uncomfortable. Like,
are you saying that you're the one that's initiating sex all the time as well?
I mean, it depends. He doesn't talk about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, Brittany, this is what happens in long-term relationships. And this is probably your first longest relationship, I would think. You're 30 years old and that no one really explains this to us. So I'm really glad that you found the show because what I think is that in every relationship, it is important to communicate about all of these things, about what your needs are, what your values are, what you require from a partner, you know, that touch is important to you, and talking about your sex life. Most people, Brittany, just so you know, most couples that I talk to don't talk about it. I grew up in Michigan as well. I never heard anybody talking about it. So I think what you can do is have a conversation with him about your sex life. It's been 5 years. I thought we should talk about how it, you know, I know it's awkward. I know we've never talked about it, but let's talk about it. What's the most memorable time we've had sex? What do you love about our sex life? I'll tell you what I like. And start a dialogue around it. And I believe it's our partner's duty to engage in such conversations because if we don't talk about it, it becomes even more of a problem down the road. You could also take the love language quiz. It takes a few minutes. I mean, it's easy. It's fun. And you can find out his love. Maybe he needs something from you that he's not getting. And sometimes it's just a great jumping off point. So
okay,
I would take it. Yeah, there's five
idea.
Of them. Yeah, that's a fun thing. Say, hey, babe, let's take this quiz. And then you both take it. And then you'll find out, oh, he really needs acts of service. And so that means that he needs you to do like a favor for him when he's not expecting it. Take his car in and fill it with gas when he, you know, make him dinner. And that's how he feels love. Right. And then if you both start to fill your love tanks up, you might be more willing to prioritize each other's needs once it feels good for both of you.
Okay, absolutely. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you could start there. But I do think that at 30, after 5 years together, these are things to really figure out now without shame. Find out, hey, is this someone that meets my goals, my standards for a relationship? Can we go the distance? Find out now.
Right, right.
He's not going to bring it up.
Right. Well, see, and that's the thing. You know, he doesn't talk about anything until it becomes a problem, if something bothers him or, you know, whatever. And I am a jabberjaws. I mean, I will literally, whether I'm texting him or talking to him, you know, I'll sit there and say, I mean, how do you feel about this? Or how do you feel about that? I mean, are you not happy?
What does he say?
He never says that he's not happy. A lot of times it's, you know, comments like, oh, that's ridiculous, you know, that you would say that, or won't say anything at all. He'll be silent or not answer it, you know, if it's a text message or something.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like passive aggressive things. He'll kind of dance around it.
Yeah, Brittany, I hear you. I would recommend therapy. I would recommend every couple, I think that every couple needs therapy, and you've been together 5 years. And it just sort of fast tracks your relationship to figure out, can we communicate? Because it sounds to me like he's not being passive aggressive or not telling you to hurt you. He doesn't have experience communicating his needs. He doesn't really know what to say. And conflict resolution, being able to repair when there's problems and communicate, is the cornerstone of a healthy relationship. He has to be willing to learn these skills. And you guys, I would recommend going to find a therapist, go once a week for the next few months, and it will teach you if you are actually meant to be together. Because wouldn't you like to know now rather than another 5 years go by? Therapy is for the health of your relationship. It doesn't mean that anything's wrong. It just means, like, let's figure out if we know the same languages and we can communicate. Would you be willing to do that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a good idea.
Yeah. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Say, let's just both figure this out together. And it will be eye-opening and you will grow from it, no matter what happens.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Emily.
So
I
great
really
to hear from
appreciate you.
Of course.
You know,
I got you.
He's actually the one that found your show.
Oh, really? He told you to listen?
Yes. He found your show and told me about it.
Well, I am so glad.
You may very well hear this. Who knows?
Good. Perfect. That's the first step. Let me know how it goes, Brittany. I'm so happy to hear from you and to connect with you. And stay safe. Appreciate you.
I will. You too. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Bye. Okay. This is from Jane, 29 in Arizona. Dear Dr. Emily, I'm almost 30 years old and I got divorced from my high school sweetheart last year. We were together since I was 15 and he has been the only person I've been with. I'm not like a prude. We experimented a lot with sex, but always together. I'm scared to be with someone new, and to be honest, I don't even know how to start. Besides, COVID hasn't helped. My ex wants to fix things. He cheated right after we had our first baby, and among other reasons, not having to deal with being with someone new. I'm considering it. What can I do to become more comfortable having sex with someone new when I've only been with one person? Okay, Jane, first off, if your husband cheated on you, and now he wants to get back together, that is classic. But I'm going to say that even if you decide to get back with him, you're going to need some therapy together to heal the trust that was broken. On your own, you're not going to be able to trust again and get back to where you were at, I promise. So that's going to take a lot of work. Please, I know you probably miss him, and I know that he's trying to get back to you, and he's probably being this loving person. But I think it might be good for you. I actually do think. I'm going to say right now, I think it's good for you to be out on your own right now. You've been with him since you were 15 years old, for half your life. What a great time to go out there and start dating. And I want to ask you, before you go out there, how comfortable are you with your body? Do you masturbate? Do you know what feels good? Do you have any fantasies? Start to get your own mojo going, feeling good, getting back into the sexual groove. And I would first worry about being comfortable with somebody that you actually like. I don't recommend casual sex and going out there right away and start sleeping with people. And I don't know if people are going to still be doing that as much now post-COVID. But again, we feel the most safe and have better sex. These are studies have proven this when we're with somebody that we trust and that we feel safe with. And so I think that you probably know a lot more than you think you do because you did have sex for 15 years with a partner. And so I think being honest with the person too and saying, this has been a while for me, when you do get to the point with a new partner and letting them know you haven't been with anyone else and it's kind of new to you. I just think that all of these secrets and things we got to show up like we're more experienced or we got to show up like we've been doing this all along is just going to make us feel worse. But honesty in these situations will serve you well because then you get to be with someone who can say, oh, I got it. Okay. Then he'll know. He'll know to maybe go slow or to check in with you even more so. And if anyone ever judges you for your truth, well, then you don't have to go through with sleeping with them or hanging out with them. That's how I feel. All right, Jane, thanks for your email. Our next email is from Madison. Hey, Dr. Emily, thanks so much for taking my question. I've been in a long-term relationship and have not been sexually attracted to my significant other for a while. As a result, I haven't been sexually active for longer than I'd like to admit. I think it's time for me to end the relationship. I've been talking to someone. There's definitely mutual interest. I'm concerned that sex will hurt, especially since I think he's bigger than my boyfriend. Is there anything I can do to prepare? Ha ha. Well, the first thing you should do is break up with your boyfriend. Before you cheat, before you go and experience his other penis, definitely end your relationship. How do you already know he's bigger than your partner? I'm curious about that too. So listen, our vaginas expand, especially when we're turned on and aroused and you get ample time to warm up. Make sure that you're wet, lubricated, use lube. You should be okay. Our vaginas can expand and, you know, babies can come out of them. So you'll probably be fine with this penis. I also get being out of practice, you know, with sex. Are you masturbating? Have you felt aroused? Have you had orgasms on your own? Start to train for that. Start to train, get your mind in a place of sensuality and arousal. And so I think you'll be ready to go as long as you break up with your boyfriend. Just remember, everyone seems attractive when we're in a dead-end relationship. Everyone seems better and bigger, literally. And so it's going to feel a lot better emotionally and physically if you clean up all the loose ends. All right? Thanks for your question. Be right back with more Sex with Emily after the break when Tony asked me what he can do about the anxiety that's keeping him from dating. This is from Tony. He's 45. Hey, Dr. Emily, I've had issues with anxiety that have gotten in the way of dating. During this whole COVID thing, it's gotten worse. I tried online dating in the past, but it just didn't work for me. I'm not sure how to overcome my anxiety of asking someone out or even how to approach a woman just to talk. I feel like I don't have anything to say. My female friends say it isn't true. If I just relaxed and showed up as myself, I would be fine. I guess there's just this fear that hangs over me of not being good or interesting enough. Any advice on how to overcome this fear? All right, Tony, this is a great question. And I think it's a common one too, that a lot of us feel that we're not good enough or interesting enough. And I'm going to bet that maybe you feel that way in other areas of your life, that you're just not good or interesting enough. And that's the kind of work that we have to continue to do on ourselves, realizing that you are good enough. I get that it's hard to put yourself out there because we're facing potential rejection. That's scary. They could go one of two ways. Either I'm going to get a yes or a no. And the no feels crippling. But asking people out and practicing approaching women or anybody is a skill set. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. Practice, practice. This is my message for everybody right now. We didn't have the ability to be social the last year. So getting groups of friends together, going out and hanging out people that you feel comfortable with. And I think your female friends are right. I'm sure you are super comfortable with them and probably with all of your friends. And so that's the same you. That's the same Tony that has to show up when you're out meeting people. And so maybe next time you're hanging with your friends, can you remember to have a moment where you think, what am I doing right now? How am I feeling right now? How is my body standing? What am I saying? Because then you'll say like, oh, this is the comfortable with himself Tony, the confident Tony that needs to show up when I'm approaching somebody. Because that Tony is the same Tony. You just have to remember how to access them. And sometimes that can be a great way to ground yourself in your body, like in those moments. Even go to the bathroom if you're at a party or whatever. Just think like, what am I saying? How am I standing? Like, that's a real experience that you can kind of channel that person and bring that into a situation where you meet someone. Another tip for approaching someone is, and this is just about observe something going on, sharing an opinion, and then asking a question. So maybe you're standing in line for coffee. Observe something that you can both relate to. So, oh, I'm so glad that they added another kind of latte. I always get their lattes. What do you like here? or isn't it great to be in a line again? I never thought that we'd see lines after COVID. You know, I never thought I'd be so excited to be standing in line. What a novelty. And then you could ask a question like, how's it been going for you? And just start talking to someone. You could even just say, hi, how's your day going? I mean, we think that we need like pickup lines or we need like a very specific approach, but just observing something going on, asking a question, saying hello with confidence. And by confidence, I mean, you're just that Tony self that is just, hey, how you doing? And you can even practice the people you're not attracted to. I mean, just making, striking up a conversation with someone at the checkout or somebody that you just see holding the door for you. Or, you know, the other challenge about approaching is that sometimes we don't talk to anybody, but the people we're interested in. And then we think we should just be able to just be chatty. But it's actually a really nice thing too. It's a nice to just kind of say hello to everybody and how's their day and how's it going? And I don't know, from the Midwest, that's what we do all the time. So I feel like being a nice person and being a kind person will start to feel like yourself and make you feel confident because that's who you are. And people like nice people and they like responding. So those are some ways to get you out of your head and into your comfort zone, Tony. And I think you're going to be just fine. And let me know how it goes. I'm invested now, Tony, in your future. Okay, this is from Jenna, 25 in Canada. Hey, Dr. Emily, I love your show. I'm 25 years old. I'm having trouble being interested in sex or a relationship. In college, I mostly had one-night stands, and I've never been in a long-term relationship. But now I'm going through some mental health issues. I'm super nervous about meeting people and going on dates. I scroll through dating apps, chat with guys, sometimes make plans, but end up bailing. I think I'm interested in casual sex to get more experience and try new things, but that scares me. So maybe a relationship is the way to go. I don't know if you have advice for me to be more confident. My main fear is that I'm not the most experienced with sex. And I also put myself out there recently and was blown off. Appreciate your advice. Okay, Jenna. First, I want to say that if you're going through some mental health challenges right now, maybe it's the best to not put yourself out there, especially if you just got, you know, especially if you weren't treated very well by somebody. And especially in an era where you feel vulnerable. But you could go out on dates with people without the expectation of sex, because getting to know someone and feel comfortable with them will allow you to feel more safe, which will allow you to feel more comfortable and be yourself ultimately. And so I like where you're going with this, that you want to either have casual sex or get to know someone. And I would say if you haven't had a relationship yet, why not go that route? Why not practice trying to get to know somebody and taking time and asking questions about what they're into and what they're interested in. So it's not just about the sex. And I would also say that this notion that we're really experienced lovers if we've had more partners isn't necessarily true. I know people who've had hundreds of partners and they were not the best lovers because they were more about their own pleasure and doing their own thing. And so I think if you are in the moment and you pay attention with somebody and you are in touch with your body and you're in touch with them, and again, it's someone that you feel comfortable with, that you'll be fine at sex. I want you to go slow and get to know somebody and maybe go on dates with a few people, right? Practice being with guys and finding who you like and you don't like. That's how we learn. We learn through dating and connection. Just take it slow. You're 25 years old. If you want to get your mental health in order and hang out with your friends right now, that's okay too. Take the pressure off yourself, please. We all put so much pressure on ourselves, including myself. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.